Hello. We'll get started in a few minutes.
Can you all hear me okay? Great, thank you.
Desiree, you're a little soft.
Okay. It could just be because I'm talking quietly.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah. So we've got Blake and me, and we're waiting. We've got a couple minutes here, but I heard from everybody, so everyone should be on. I'm going to just check my text, though, to see if there's any weirdness. Excuse me. There's Savannah. Hi, Savannah.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Let me just grab my other drink. Hold on. Let me text Andrew. So Desiree, is it just you today, or is Michael going to be on, or is he out of the office again, or
It'll just be me today. Michael's out today.
not that it's bad just to have it be you.
Thank you. My video's not working. Let's see.
Well, I think we can go ahead. It's 1 o'clock. I haven't heard from him, which is very unusual. But I think we can go ahead and begin. And you have got the recording started. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Hold on, I'm finding my page here. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission Plans Review Subcommittee meeting of Thursday, July 23rd, 2026, called to order at 1:01 p.m. And I will go ahead and call roll. Terry Majewski is here. Andrew Christopher, no. Blake Houghton.
Here.
And Savannah McDonald.
Here.
I found Andrew.
Hey, I'm here. Sorry, guys.
Oh, great. So you are present. Yes, great. Thank you. Okay, item two is review and approval of the 7/9/2026 legal action report slash minutes. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please?
I'll move, Terry.
Okay, and that's Blake, is that you?
Blake. Yep.
Yeah, sorry.
I'll second.
Okay. Is there any discussion of the LAR that was provided with the meeting materials? Okay, if not, Terry votes aye. Andrew?
Aye.
Blake?
Aye.
And Savannah?
Aye.
It passes unanimously 4-0. Thank you. Item three is summary of public comments, and we did receive one on the courtesy review of the Fox Theater plans. Desiree and I emailed about this earlier, and we thought it would be helpful to just read it into the record when we start discussing that case. Does that work for everyone?
Yep.
No objections? Okay. Well, read under 4B. Okay, then we'll move on to 4A. And that is, or item four is historic preservation zone review cases. And we review these under UDC section 5.8/TSM 9-02.0, historic district design guidelines, and the revised Secretary of the Interior standards and guidelines. Case 4A is SD0526. 00081 slash TCRES 0526-02710, and this is at 243 East University Boulevard. And we'll go ahead and let Desiree introduce the project, please.
All right. Thank you so much, Chair Majewski. Can you all see my screen, the executive summary?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. So this is a project at 243 East University Boulevard in the West University Historic Preservation Zone. The proposed project includes the construction of two new ramadas. Ramada A will be in the rear courtyard. Ramada B would be in the east side yard. And both ramadas would be made of rusted metal on 4x4 posts with a flat corrugated metal roof. A fire pit and barbecue area are also proposed. So this is a contributing property to the West University HPZ. The main residence was built in 1906. There is an existing accessory dwelling or accessory structure on the lot at the rear, and that is proposed to stay. So there's no demolition proposed as part of the project. This project was reviewed by the West University Historic Zone Advisory Board on July 7th, and they recommended approval of the project as presented. We did not receive any public comments on the proposed project, and staff findings were included in the summary for your review. But the main comment that we had was Ramada B, which is the one proposed for the side yard, would be visible from the street, and the design guidelines for the West University Historic Zone also note that building materials should be compatible with the primary building and that corrugated metal roofing may be appropriate for guest houses and accessory structures at the rear of the property. So we just wanted to note that because one of the accessory structures is planned for the side yard, so it would be visible from the street. But West University, their comment related to that was that they felt it was pushed far enough back from the front street. There's also landscaping in front, and they felt like it would be minimally visible, and so they were okay with what was proposed. So that concludes my staff presentation. We have the applicant here, Aid. And Aid, would you like me to kind of drive? I have this up so I can, or I can put have you control that if you would like.
If you wouldn't mind doing it,
Okay.
Desiree, that would be great.
Sure.
Could I just ask before we begin, Ed, are you the property owner?
Yes, ma'am.
Great, thank you. I just want to note that for the record. Thank you. Go ahead.
As Desiree explained, our property, we're requesting to build two Ramadas, and a built-in stucco barbecue surround and a fireplace. We used AI to show sort of before and after pictures. You can see the front of 243 East University there, and the AI photo of the proposed alteration, which indeed is set back. And because the posts are 4 inches wide and the top is 4 inches wide, the profile is extremely slim, and visibility is minimal, or we think it's minimal. In the backyard, that is not visible to anybody except those of us living in the accessory dwelling unit. You can see the backyard as it currently stands and the AI-generated proposed alteration. We can, I guess, go on. Thank you, Desiree. We did take a walk a block and a half around the neighborhood, and we found other examples of this. The height that I mean, there's nothing odd or weird about the excessive about the height and size of what we're projecting. And lots of rusted and corrugated metal is used in the neighborhood. On the site, I guess I'll do that later. Here is our development. Is this our No, this is our aerial photograph, and there are three buildings on the property. I'm sorry, the fourplex up front, what we call the main house, only because that's where my husband and I will live, is the accessory dwelling unit, and then in the back is an existing workshop. The little shade you can see there is covering the parking area. So that's the overhead view of the property. And we can move on. Thank you, Desiree. Here is the site plan, and I don't pretend to understand much of this, but from our end, yes, the East End Ramada is back from the house. It is, and the setbacks are appropriate to the neighbor's wall there and stuff. And the landscaping does, in fact, shield it from view. And the stuff in the back, you can't see from the alley. The neighbors can't see it. Nobody can see it. I guess a drone could see it. That's it. I guess we can move on, unless there are questions or concerns there. These are photographs of the existing site. This is in the backyard. There are concrete pads with pavers over them that were already existing, where both the Ramadas will be. So those are already there. We're not proposing anything for that, and they will just be over that. And then you can scroll down, and then you can see the whole backyard. Oh, and this is the view from on the east side, and you can see there's an existing real fire pit there. And we don't know when or how that was approved, but it's there. And you can see the pad, and you can see that it's set back from the street. We can move on. Thank you, Desiree. And there is rusted fence all over our property. that is deliberately rusted, not just old rusted. And this just shows the surrounding around the house. We can move on from there. Thank you, Desiree. The elevation of the small Ramada, again, the profiles are very slim. They'll be using 4-inch steel posts and a 4-inch beam, and the corrugated metal roofing will be flush. It won't be peaked, and there won't be an overhang. So the profile is pretty slim. Again, using AI, you can see here, actually on this AI picture, it should be back a little bit forward. AI isn't real great on setting all that stuff up, but you can see that it's back, certainly from the neighbor's house, and from our home. We can move on. Oh, and that thing in the middle is a bocce ball court, which I guess we'll learn how to play bocce ball. The Ramada in the backyard, same idea as the side yard. 4-inch beams, corrugated roof, no overhang, no peak, low profile. So we can go ahead, and then you can see that. Thank you, and then we can move on. I'm very new to all of this. We just bought the home in March. This is the development zone, but I don't know what a development zone is. Anyway, this is a picture of ours. And I guess we can move on. Precedent examples, as I mentioned before, we did walk around the neighborhood. This is the one on the right-hand side of the screen. That's our next-door neighbors. That actually is visible from the street because it is higher than the wall next to it. The 307 East University is the Drachman house property, which is so pretty. This has very large beams and a peaked metal roof, and landscaping blocks it from direct view. We can scroll down. This is an interesting one. It's a Ramada with a rooftop deck thing, I guess. And then this cedar one at 903 East 2nd Street, which is really, really beautiful. The one, this is at 240 East University across the street from us. And this is really unattractive, I guess. Anyway, it's there. And I just included it because it was across the street. 329 East University, this faces the street. And this is a balcony that has now had a awning put over it. And scrolling down, this is by us. This is on Arizona Street. I wasn't sure if this was a Ramada or a carport, but since there wasn't a car, I decided it was a Ramada. And then at 301 East on 301 4th Street, there's a little Ramada with this cute little bar thing around it. So that's what we found in a very quick cursory walk. Michael Taku was good enough to provide us with this historic property inventory. So we thank him for that. And these are renderings. Again, this is stuff that we've already covered, mostly showing the Ramadas. And then the fire pit is manual ignition. It will not be on a pad. It just will sit on the ground. It'll be 40 inches diameter. It'll be vented, and it'll have a brick veneer. And the gas line will run, of course, underground to it. And it'll have all the access doors for all the safety stuff that we need. If there's any questions, or we can move on from there. Is that it?
Well, is that the last of your slides?
Yes, that's the whole
I
presentation.
believe it. I believe it is.
Okay.
I hope that was enough slides.
Oh yeah. So we'll go ahead and I'll entertain questions from the subcommittee members. Who would like to begin?
I'll start.
Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. Yeah, I think it's generally fine. I think my only questions really had to do with the slope. A lot of the views show it as flat, but it corrugated metal roof. It should drain in the direction of the corrugation. So have you thought through where the water goes on your site?
Yes, it'll go, they'll go back, and the raise is minimal. It's a half, a quarter inch, a half inch, something like that. And they'll drain off the back. They won't drain towards the street.
Okay, because page 6 of the presentation sh does show framing plans and the slope is in the wrong direction. So I would just make sure that's coordinated. Yeah,
Yes.
there's two framing plans there and the slope is showing opposite the corrugation. And we typically see 2 to 12 on a corrugated roof. I think since they're Ramadas, it's probably okay. It's not, enclosed space below, but I would make sure it's at least sloped in the right direction and that where the water's going is it works for your kind of site.
Thank you. Yes, we will.
That's it.
Okay, Blake or Andrew?
No, nothing on my end. This looks good.
Yeah,
Okay.
I'm okay with it.
Okay. So, with those comments, I'm also okay with it. I would entertain a motion.
I can make the motion. Do you guys want me to make the comment about the drainage direction, or should I
I
just?
would, because if
Okay.
that's what's currently on the plans, then the plans need to be adjusted, needs to be called out, just, for the improvement of the project.
Okay, yeah. I mean, but compatibility wise, I think we're all in
Oh yeah, I
agreement.
think so. But I mean, just in terms of drainage is so key.
Okay, let me type up a comment then really quick.
Okay. I just want to commend you on the presentation. I thought it was very thorough, and I think even if it didn't seem immediately obvious to you what the zone around the property was, you did a good job with that, with the comparative pictures and so on.
Thank you. Yeah, this has been a real learning experience. That's for sure.
Well, we appreciate your efforts on
Thank you.
Yeah, looks good. Okay, I'm ready.
Good.
On the matter of SD-0526-0081/TC-RES-0526-02710 at 243 East University Boulevard. I move to recommend approval of the project as presented with the following comment that the applicant ensure the plans are updated to show the roof slope in the direction of the metal roof corrugation and drainage area considered on the site plan.
Thank you. And who will second?
I'll second, Terry.
Okay. Thank you, Blake. Is there further discussion of the motion? Okay. If not, I'll call roll. Savannah?
Aye.
Blake?
Aye.
Andrew?
Aye.
And Terry votes aye. So it passes unanimously 4-0. And do you know the next steps?
I think, and would be happy to confirm with you that my next step is that I need to get a permit from the city and provide them with site plans and a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and I think Desiree can just say a little bit more about that, about the timeline, if you don't mind.
Please.
Yes, absolutely. So, following this meeting, we will send you the final conditions of approval. So, there will be minimal for this one. Once you update your plans to reflect the final conditions, then we'll be able to complete your historic approval. And then after that, you will need to resubmit in the main in TDC online for your main permit. So all of this will also need just a regular, building permit. So zoning and building will review that. But your immediate next step is just to keep your an eye out for an email from us with those conditions of approval for the historic review.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. And if you have other questions, you can always contact Desiree or Michael. So thank you again. Good luck with the project.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Bye bye.
Everybody.
There, here I am.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so item 4B is TPPRE 0726-00153, 17, 25, and 27 North Stone Avenue, 17 West Congress Street. And Desiree, I will let you go ahead and present background on this before we hear the presenter.
Thank you. So we have Michael Becker here and Bonnie Schock from Swaim Architects and the Fox Theater. So they'll be presenting this courtesy review. But just as a reminder, at the end of last year, 2025, Mayor and Council approved a demolition application for the existing buildings to the east and adjoining the Fox Theater along Stone Avenue. So that the address of that building is 17 25 and 27 North Stone Avenue. And that is the contributing, those buildings are contributing to the Downtown Tucson Historic District. And then there's also that corner building at 1 West Congress Street that's not contributing, but that's also proposed for demolition as part of an expansion project for the Fox Theater. So the informational presentation today is for the current design concept. So the design team is working on kind of the more specific design of the facade for the expansion project, and they want to present the concepts to you today. So we did receive one public comment from Mr. Ken Scovel, and so his comments were that any signage that is on the northwest corner of Stone and Congress is unacceptable for the new venue. And all signage must front Stone and not compromise the historic landscape of the Fox Theater, the historic Fox Theater on Congress. So with that, I will pass it over to, I think Michael's going to be presenting today.
Thank you,
Thanks, Desiree.
Desiree.
Yeah, thank you, Desiree.
Welcome.
Good afternoon. It's good to see everybody.
I'm Michael.
As Desiree mentioned, we were here, 6 months ago. And thanks for your attention and ultimately the recommendation for approval of the demolition permit. Because we have some confidence now what we can and can't do with the site, we've been sort of working on the floor plan, which is we've rearranged some of the organization of the addition. And I want to walk through that today because we have changed the primary entrance of the new building. That's probably the biggest change you'll see. And then we've also changed not the massing or the organization of the east facade, but we're starting to work on the detailing more. Some of this is in response to the change of the entrance. So those are the two primary changes. I do have the concept replacement plan drawings up from end of last year. If you have any questions about those, but I will simply share kind of where we are today and go through this. And our goal today is just to get some feedback, just to give some context to where we are in the process. We're basically going through our design development phase, which is basically in practical terms, that means we're in between 30% and 60% design. Our goal is to wrap up our design development phase by the end of September. And what we really need from our team, I'm not saying from you, but for our goal at the end of September is to know with some level of confidence, what we're building, what it looks like, and our cost so that we can move into our construction document phase with some confidence. With that, I'll just go ahead and, unless there's some questions, I'll just go ahead and jump in and kind of run through where we are today.
Okay, PRS members, do you have any questions or can Michael go ahead and begin?
Nope.
No? Good. All right, we'll have
Good.
time for questions or comments later.
Sure. And Bonnie, did you have anything you want to add?
No, hello everybody.
Hi, Bonnie.
Excited to hear your thoughts and
Great.
feedback.
Thank you.
All right. Hopefully, you can see the floor plan. And great. So, in this plan, the plan is rotated. So, north is to the right. Stone Avenue is going to be across the bottom of the page, and Congress is on the left side of the page. I did that just so we can see the full plan, without having to scroll around too much and really keep it clear. Just to orient you, this here is the historic entrance. of the Fox as it exists today. There's the ticket booth. This is the historic lobby, and then the actual house. Oops, sorry about that. And oh, there we go. So you can see where the, this is the existing house of the theater. So our addition is, the entirety of the area from the east side of the Fox Theater to Stone Avenue, and then from the former bank building to Congress is our construction area. As I mentioned in the previous design that we presented, we had really been focusing our new entry on the corner at Stone and Congress. And we did present this plan. What was included in the plan that we presented in December was the way the building is stepping in here, which is allowing us to bring the curb in and provide this accessible drop-off. So that was one of the main components that the Fox was looking for, was increasing accessibility. And currently on that site, there is no way to exit a car at the curb and safely get onto the site if you're in a wheelchair or walker or have some mobility issues. So what we realized, once we had some confidence and then working also with the Fox staff is, moving the entrance made a lot of sense. It's also something that had been suggested to us several times that we might want to consider having the entrance on Stone rather than the corner, simply so that the new entry to the new building doesn't compete with the historic Fox entry. And for that reason, and also just for a lot of operational reasons, I think also for that idea of the procession of moving into the theater as you come off of Stone and coming straight through and into the historic lobby and then into the theater, this shift in the entry seems to make a lot of sense to us. And again, operationally works really well. It also allows us to keep the bar area very kind of concise. And then the bar is no longer a circulation path. The bar is now a destination. And what we've done, the corner, the articulation of the corner has not changed from what we showed in December, but we have moved our atrium stair along that corner to bring people up to the second floor. And you'll see that. So, from the street, you'll be able to see that activity of people moving between the floors. You'll be able to see the second floor balcony, in addition to being able to see into the first floor bar. So with this floor plan, that's really the main change. The restrooms are essentially in the similar place. And then the north end of our building is entirely dedicated to back of house, receiving services, things like that. I go to the second floor plan. This can just show you kind of what's up there, the main form. And you'll see this volume express itself when we look at the elevations in the model. This is our second performance space. So another goal of the project was to provide a smaller venue associated with the Fox to allow opportunity for local artists, to allow smaller performances to happen. Not everybody can fill 1,200 seats, so to provide something closer to that 300 seat range. It also gives the Fox some opportunity to have other events there. So if somebody wanted to have their holiday dinner for their office, or somebody wants to have a lecture, it opens up the Fox to a lot more opportunity in terms of the kinds of events that they can host. And again, here you can see that atrium stair bringing you up at the corner to the second floor lobby. That lobby does connect through into the mezzanine of the historic Fox. So we have multiple connections, and really these openings that we're creating here, and then back on the first floor, we have actually three openings that we're showing. Those are really the only modifications that we're making through, into the historic Fox, that really affect the envelope of the building. Moving up to the third floor, are still showing a roof terrace on the Congress and Stone corner, and I'll show that some more in the elevations and the renderings when we get to that. But we have also simplified the roof profile a great deal. And we've always kept this idea of keeping the Congress facade low. So it's lower than the Fox building. It actually matches the west building of the Fox in terms of height. And as we discussed in December, we were creating this kind of new framing for the Fox within that symmetric context. And I'll review that in just a second. But we will have people on the roof and be able to stand up here and look at the historic blade. And we think it's going to be a really active and interesting space. Let's see, that's a section. Here we go. This is our Congress facade. Let me zoom in a little bit so everybody can see it really clearly. So basically you can see, the big red line. So everything to the right of this line is new and everything to the left is existing. And this is what I was just saying, our guardrail height for our roof terrace is going to match this step that exists at the very corner of the Fox Theater. And if you look at the other side, on the west side of the Fox Theater, that steps down and then sets up the rhythm that establishes the height of the building next door. And that building next door is where there's a concessions on the first floor, there's a bar on the second floor. So this building is part of the Fox Theater complex, but it's always read as a separate building in terms of the way the facade reads. So what we're doing is simply matching that width and matching that height and the rhythm of the windows, the rhythm of the storefront, and really just trying to create a mirror, and not a replication of that. We do want to differentiate it very clearly. So we're creating, a different language for that, but using the same context and proportion, of that historic building to do that. Once we get, to this point, which is, as I said, the width of this is the same as the width of this, to be able to again center the Fox within that composition. Once we move to the east of that, we've got this element, which is the corner element. This first third or half of it here is square to Congress. And then when we get to the corner, we are going back at 45 degrees. And a big effort, part of that was to again minimize the height. So we're moving away from the Fox. There is a guardrail here, but it would be glass. So from the what you're actually going to perceive is the building steps down at the corner. And then as it turns the corner, it recedes from Congress. And this is all in an, again, the whole point of this is to really make sure that the historic facade is the most prominent thing that you'll see on Congress itself. So you're seeing kind of faded behind here. This is the rest of the building. So the building does have some mass to it as you move north on Stone, but that's set back about 30 feet from the Congress facade. So again, when you're standing on Congress, you may not see this actually much at all. Certainly, if you're on the southwest corner of Stone and Congress or southeast corner of Stone and Congress, you'll see some of that. But I think, from your perception of the Fox as you're approaching it, that primary historic facade is really going to be the most prominent thing. From basically, it's kind of how you'll still perceive the building as the main feature. The stone facade, this has gone through probably the most changes. I think from where the historic blade is, this corner piece is essentially very similar to what we showed in December. Again, this is coming back at 45 degrees. We have another piece, this sort of symmetrical corner piece that turns the corner to bring you then to the where we begin to have height. So this initial area where you see these kind of fins, and we're using these fins, to match the kind of detailing that we were doing on the south facade. That's, we're have things like the stair to the terrace and some things are happening in there. And then once you get to this solid portion, this is that performance space. And then from here over, that's back of house. So we've got a kind of a green room, back of stage on the second floor, and then we've got a small storage space up on the third floor. And then what you're seeing here is in the center, that would be our new entrance to the theater. These walls are receding back as it comes back under the building to get to those main entry doors that then bring you into the theater. So as you're standing out in the street here, or even as you exit the car, the intent is that this projects out over the sidewalk and provides shade and shelter, for people that are exiting the car on the passenger side to then get into the building. We're also looking at our options, which you can see here, for some digital signage. Having that digital signage as additional a marquee, but then also for sponsorship opportunities and revenue generating opportunities is really important to the Fox. So we do need to work with the sign code and the sign code committee and talk through kind of how these digital signs can really work. So we have some more research and work to do with the city in terms of how these actually get implemented, but we are showing them, at the corner, which these were in the original design as well that we presented back in December. And then this marquee on Stone is really that's a new feature from what you saw the last time. The other thing that's new from last time is we have added essentially another marquee, to really, again, signify the entrance in a very clear way, tie it together as part of the Fox campus, but then creating this marquee that's much, much smaller. So it's subordinate to the original blade on Congress, but it will have probably similar font, not the same style of blade, but a similar font, much smaller scale, again, just to help tie together that this is all the Fox Performing Arts Center. With this being the historic theater, and then this being really the event center, I think is what we're calling it. So with that, let's see. And then what you're seeing in terms of this kind of patterning on the east facade, this is something we're in development on. We know we want to begin to integrate some of the original Fox geometry, the Art Deco geometry, into this building in some, to help it be compatible and to have a shared language. But again, we want it to differentiate from the original building. So I'll show you in a minute where this comes from, this geometry, because this is taken from the house itself, some of the geometries in the house. But the idea is to, begin to break up these large planes, because this is a big volume. That's that volume of the event space on the second floor. So we're trying to break that volume down to something that's, has a more human scale to it. The other thing that we're doing with this is, these planes that you're seeing, sort of this and this, these step back. And again, we're trying to play into that sort of cascading planes that you see typically, and you see in the House of the Fox in some of the Art Deco architecture. So really, again, trying to reflect some of the general organization of how those geometries come together, but to do it in a way on this building that begins to emphasize it. It is a modern building, but it has references to the original Art Deco material that we're working from. Let's see. Let me zoom out just a little bit. If so, this is, oops, sorry, jump back. Now, this is sort of a section through the entire building. So you can see this is through our entry sequence. There's that secondary blade that we're talking about. This is our second performance space. And then you can see the house, the Fox House here, as you come into it. So again, the entry sequence is, it is, it's coming from the east through this lobby, through this historic lobby, and then into the house. And this is really a kind of compressive experience, which is similar to the experience you have in the historic lobby as well. But these are not tall, grand spaces. These lobby spaces, they tend to be to bring you in. And then when you come into the House of the Fox, you get that vertical relief. And it's kind of like, that's when you get a sort of sense of wonder and excitement, is when you actually enter the house itself. Let's see. Jump ahead. I show this just to show how we're pulling some of these existing geometries out of the building. So you can see there's the actual ceiling, and sort of I was kind of tracing out some of that to understand how the geometry is really working. And looking at the layering, that's something that we notice a lot in the house geometry, is it's built up of a series of overlapping layers that make these geometries really work. Some of the really interesting components, are these capitals that you see. Slide this over. This is one of these pilaster capitals that's in the house that has this cascading feature to it. And this is really the piece that we were using to generate that geometry you saw on that west facade or the east facade, to start to break that down and create, just to break down that overall mass. And there's also interesting pieces. This house definitely has this sort of Egyptian motif, desert motif. So you have the reeds and these kind of flowering light fixtures. So we're trying to think, how can we begin to integrate some of those details in a way, whether it's in handrails, how we do either frits on glass, how we detail the bar. So it's really trying to draw that, again, some of that finer detailing in, but use it in a way that's complementary to the existing Fox. The Fox has some really interesting, this is an interesting piece. This is the pattern that goes around the proscenium. So the proscenium is the opening of the stage, and it's that sort of symbolic separation between the audience and the performer. So, that's one of the patterns that we're really interested in trying to find a way to integrate that into the new building. And these are some of just the decorative elements that are on the outside. So we've taken all those and kind of traced them and broken them down. into these line drawings, so then we can begin to think how can we use this in a way to accent the house or to accent the new building. Let's see, let me go to the next page. And this is the drawing I was talking about. So I kind of overlaid some of that geometry from the interior of the house, and thinking about how, the way we break down this facade, create those cascading layers, and then even this idea of the reeds, the verticality of that, to try to echo that on the exterior of the house, or the exterior of the new building, to tie it back into that original geometry. And then just taking that capital, that pilaster capital, and sort of making that a sort of super graphic that gets abstracted and repeated to help break down that the mass of that east facade. Let's see, jump down here. So these are the current renderings. You've probably seen some of these. These were in the paper. We've been very fortunate to get some financial support from the Hughes Federal Credit Union. So you'll see, they will have some branding on the building. But again, you have this kind of, corner feature, and really, from here over to the corner, our intent is to keep this really muted and background. You're going to get this view into the building itself, see the activity, and see that really warm glow from it within the building. But we still want this, that Congress facade to recede, and to allow the Fox, the historic Fox facade, to be the most prominent thing on Congress. But then, as you turn the corner to Stone Avenue, we also want our secondary entrance to have a level of prominence, and to be very recognized as part of the Fox Theater Performing Arts Center. We have always designed this facility so that the historic Fox can function entirely separately from the addition, exactly the way it does today. And then we can also, the Fox can function in a way where the new building integrates with the historic building, and provides that additional lobby space that's really lacking in the existing building. If I go down, this is the exact same view, just in the daytime. So you can see just a little more of the detailing, and how these things start to relate. But again, keeping that Congress facade in context to the historic facade of the theater. This is looking directly at that secondary entrance on Stone Avenue. We're sort of looking south on Stone here. We're on the east side of Stone, looking a little bit south. You can see One South Church in the background there. So having a lot of transparency at the ground level, allowing the sidewalk to slip under the building to create that shelter, but also create sort of like collecting people into the building. It also provides a really nice space, sheltered, shaded space for the queuing that has to happen, because we'll have security screenings and other things happening at those outer doors. So it gives some, people a place to comfortably exist outside the building on the sidewalk. And then our last image is just a little closer looking at the new facade in a little more detail. But again, you can see, even with this new marquee, the historic marquee is still the largest thing in terms of signage within the view of this building. So let's see. And what's next? That's it. So that was pretty quick run through. I want to be respectful of your time. Certainly, I'm happy to dig into any one of these details, or provide some further explanation.
Great. Thank you, Michael. Let's go ahead
Sure.
and ask PRS
Well,
members who would like to begin.
hang on, Bonnie, do you have anything to add? Did I miss anything?
Oh, no, I don't think you missed anything at all.
Okay.
Other than just to reiterate that the event center has an entrance, and the historic theater has an entrance. Those two things both remain. So I want to be clear about that the event center entrance is the event center entrance, and the theater entrance is the theater entrance. They'll work together. Sometimes they'll work separately depending on the type of event and activities that are happening within the whole facility.
Thanks,
Well,
Bonnie.
great. That helped. One of my questions was answered. So who would like to begin of PRS?
Can start.
Okay, thank you.
So, first of all, I think this is really, really thoughtfully considered. It's a really tough design challenge, what you have in front of you, and I think it's really well considered, and I think you've through the massing and the articulation, you've given as much deference as you can to the original facade, just given the, the proportions of the building and the fact that the original facade is, what, 50 or 60 feet long, and that's it. So I think it's really well done in that regard. The comment, which I guess I don't know when we can talk
Go
about it,
ahead.
but the comment about the signage on the corner, I kind of tend to agree with. I think it's getting a little busy in terms of marquees, and it maybe brings some emphasis to the corner that we're trying to like have more muted. So I don't know. But I understand the need for it, obviously. You have to advertise shows, you have to advertise sponsors, all of that. And you kind of have limited real estate to do it. But I like the integration. I don't know if you actually plan on doing it, but the vining plants and the planters down below. Because I mean, a lot of Art Deco detailing is, inspired by natural forms and nature. So I think that's kind of a cool contemporary take on that along the parapet. So I think it'd be cool if it ended up happening. But that's my initial thoughts anyway right now, and I'll let others kind of give their
Oh,
feedback.
we can do a couple rounds of comments if something else inspires you. So
Yeah, it's a lot to look at.
it
I
is.
know. That was a lot of material to cover. So
Savannah or Blake?
Eric, I can go. I mean, I agree that proposed design generally good and compatible with the context, with the historic Fox Theater, I would say, with the exception of that new Fox marquee. I just think it competes, and it's just too similar. I don't mind the marquee or the advertising at the corner. Actually, that looks a lot more modern and different enough to me. So it's just that other Fox sign to me that just doesn't seem
is it the existence of the sign at all, or is it the specific detailing of the sign right now?
I mean, I am not opposed to a big monument sign on that side to mark the entry, certainly. It's just too similar to the other one. I don't know. It's
That's
the
fair.
same configuration, the font, everything. Yeah, I just think it. I mean, I get that you made it smaller, and I get all that. Like, it's all the moves are I understand and are very clear and logical. And just it's this is still too, at least in this view, it's just too similar, too prominent, in my opinion. But yeah, I don't see any reason why I couldn't put a big monument sign on that side and draw attention. Just this maybe more dissimilar. What else? Oh, on this, so on this in this view, on like kind of the stone facade, I'm the panelizing. It's feeling familiar to the building that used to be there. So I kind of appreciate that, especially with the overhang, and the inset entry. I also really appreciate. For me, it's just really busy with the undulating out and up and down of that mass. It just seems a little busy to me. And then you're talking about adding diagonal graphics as well. I don't know. I'm just trying to reconcile that with the fins and the different colors and the brick and the everything else. It's just a lot.
It is. It's like, how much, but in Art Deco there's a lot, right? In a lot of those buildings. So it's finding that balance, though. I don't disagree with you. I think we're still sort of considering, how do we, I mean, it's a big mass, so how do you take a big mass like that and make it still sort of human, but also not, crazy busy? So, but I appreciate your comment on it.
I mean, I think the plan is developed nicely. I like the idea of especially a stair at the corner, like a stair stretching up, big monumental stair right there. It seems really neat. And the bar right at that corner too. I think the plans are great. Those look good to me. Just the one elevation is just a little much. I don't know, maybe some editing in the sign. But yeah, the last question I have is all the paving around there. Will you be reworking that? I know there's pretty neat paving and the stars in front of the fox. Does that get kind of like rehabbed or redone or preserved?
We're still trying to figure out the best way to do that.
Okay.
We do need to do something with the stars, and whether we, remove them and create a new another way to recognize those donors. I think we're evaluating it internally, so that, I don't think any decision's been made one way or the other in terms of what we're going to do with that. Certainly, the streetscape around the addition will be significantly upgraded and changed. As we rework the particularly with the pull-in and the other new features.
Well, thank you. That's all I had.
Savannah, can I ask you a clarifying question on your comment about the second blade? Thinking about the standardization of brand identity, right? Which is one of the things that we, as an organization and as an overall building would be after is a standard, look, font, brand, right? And that blade, the historic blade is the principal piece in addition to the ceiling of our brand, of our existing graphic brand that we use for advertising and public messaging. So in that context, I hear what you're saying about am I understanding you correctly that you're interested in that whatever signage might be there being distinctly modern and more modern and different? Help me wrap my brain around.
I think just different. I don't think it has to be distinctly modern. I think the keyword, the feeling for me is just different. I mean, it's obviously trying to emulate it to a smaller, diminished extent, and I just feel like it still competes with it.
Okay. And so that piece about when I mean my marketing brain, right, about how you establish a brand identity that remains consistent. I'm hearing you say that from the architectural perspective and the overall look to differentiate the historic building from the addition, that you're suggesting it wants and needs to not be the same. When and so I'm trying to reconcile that marketing reality of how you create a brand and a consistent identity that refers to itself. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, I totally get it. It's a
Okay.
really big challenge.
Yeah.
I don't have any
Okay.
suggestions. I do love the font. Maybe you keep the font, certainly, but I
Yeah.
don't know. It's just at this point,
That's what I
I
was
don't know.
thinking.
It's
It
just
may
so
be the
seems a little. It
font.
just so seems a little too similar.
Okay.
I don't
It's
know.
super helpful. It'll give me more to wrap my brain
I don't
around.
know. I don't.
Yeah, I
I
do
sorry. I
think.
don't have more suggestions for you. It's
No.
just a
Okay.
feeling, just a gut. Yeah.
I do
Thank
think
you.
the font is that big part of the branding. Like
Yeah.
the font is a really strong part of that branding. But I think, Bonnie, we can start to think through, what that can turn into.
I don't know, Andrew, Blake, yeah, you could, what do you guys think about that too? I mean, I
I
guess.
actually think that the sign on the east side matching the sign on Congress is one of the most redeeming features of this design in tying it to the historic portions of this build. If it were up to me, the east sign would match identically the fin on Congress Street.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I kind of see like what you're responding to, Savannah, that like the styles are different. The other one is definitely more of a like art deco. It has like kind of a nature pattern. It looks like a mosaic almost up close. And this kind of looks like of that era, but maybe a little bit different style, like 1930s, like news network vibe. I'm not
Yeah,
sure. I'm not sure what it gives, but it's giving me kind of a historic vibe.
it was inspired by another historic theater that Bonnie sent me. The
Yeah.
Lincoln Theater, Bonnie, is that
Yeah,
what it was?
it is. It's the Lincoln Theater in DC.
Yeah. So you're correct. It is inspired by a sign from the same era.
So maybe. maybe that's part of it too. I don't, maybe it becomes more simplified, or I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you, but I do get kind of what Savannah's like gut reaction to it is for sure.
Thank you for digging into that a little deeper. That's helpful, everybody.
I'm just
And I
curious, Desiree, what are your
love
thoughts? I'm sorry, go
that
ahead.
it's directly conflicting opinions about it. We're getting used to that. Go ahead, Terry. Sorry.
No problem. I'm just curious what Desiree has to think, because I mean, we need to think about the secretary standards about distinguishing, because really that whole facade on stone, I mean, that's new. Right? So, how do we how but how do we tie it together that it's a piece of the what is now a sort of conglomerate?
Yes, I think Savannah was touching on that differentiation or that standard of Secretary of the Interior standard. But I also understand the branding of the font. So it sounds like there's agreement that the font, keeping the same font would work, but maybe it's just making that the actual sign, the style of the sign, a bit more differentiated or less, historic looking. I was thinking, what if the color, what if it was like kind of inverse, like you have the black? I don't know if those are the final colors you're going to propose, but maybe using color to differentiate, if you keep the same font. Just another thought. But yeah, preservation can sometimes you have different opinions about, different interpretations of the same standard. So hopefully that's enough feedback or ideas for Michael to go back and come up with something.
And that should be easy enough to play with design programs that you wouldn't have to, you could try a lot of different things with that same font.
Yeah, and that's why we come in so early. I mean, we have time to really consider these things.
And we appreciate that too. Every time you come, you've made a lot of good progress. So, yeah, thank you for letting us see it.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's hear from Blake, and then I've got a couple thoughts, but go ahead, Blake.
I'm going to keep my thoughts to the digital signage. I am the landscape architecture professional on this subcommittee. And so without there being much landscape, I have to turn my thoughts to the view shed and how elements of this design support or detract from the historic quality of the structure that we are trying to preserve, right? I think that were I looking at a structure for a proposed new modern theater, I would say that you guys have come up with something cool and funky, and I like the vibe of it. But if I was putting myself in the shoes of a pedestrian on that street corner and, had an inkling that there was a historic theater there, I know that you guys said that you tried to let the original facade of the Fox Theater part shine. But I think that the modernity of the addition overwhelms that. And to echo the public comment received, the digital signage is only going to further that, and detract from, if I was looking at that perspective again from the southeast corner looking northwest, and I had no idea what part of the theater was historic or that there was a historic theater there, I probably wouldn't know that there was anything special about this theater, apart from it just being a theater. I think that sums up everything that I'm thinking and feeling right now.
Okay. I
Appreciate
just
your
wanted
comments.
to say, Michael and Bonnie, that I was really pleasantly surprised to see, because what got me the last time was the corner entrance with sort of the bells and whistles, and so I really like this. It's interesting. Well, except it is, I mean, it differentiates and it separates the old and the new interpretation, the old on Congress and then the new interpretation of what was there before on Stone. But, I think it's hard, the balance to keep the focus on the old, the historic part of the Fox is a real challenge because it isn't a huge area. And as you pointed out in your presentation, what is the true historic area, right? And it sort of stops where the corner portion begins, right? And so I think if you took off the portion right now behind the light pole that says Hughes in white, right? That's that one.
Right there.
I mean,
Yeah.
if you took that off, it would look odd that you didn't have the balance of those
The
signs.
symmetry.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think it's something to think through. And so, well, I want to ask also in a future presentation, we'll see more of the details of the entry because I know we've talked a lot about that over the years. You've been bringing the plans to us as they've evolved,
Yeah, absolutely.
or other details as they, but I mean, I think this. And I wanted to weigh in. I'm not so sure that I'm what I think about if I feel so negatively toward the sign on the new portion. But I welcome your ideas on how to differentiate that a little bit more, while keeping your branding going, right? But for example, you in the center portion of the corner thing that's black, the black fox thing, I mean, you sort of modified it there, right? With the star element, or with the that element, the sunburst element as the O, right?
Yeah, that's one of the Fox standard
Yeah,
branding logos, yeah.
that's our logo. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But whether, I guess, are you suggesting whether we use that, maybe
No,
think
I
about
don't
some of
know,
these
but I
other
mean,
branding.
you do. It is part of your branding too. So, what could you, if you bring out any other elements from inside to the outside of the new beige area to the right on stone, I think you'll be able to get some inspiration about what it should look like. And I do have one concern. So, let's say that how will people know which entrance to use when they're coming to an event?
We will instruct them. And the addresses are distinct, and where they arrive, and both of the if the event is happening in the main stage, most likely both entrances will be active. And so
Oh, okay.
so there, you wouldn't be turned away, right, from one space. You can come in through the event center and access the historic theater. So that's an operational, reality of many multi-stage performing arts centers, right, where there's multiple entrances that are active, and it's how we navigate that in terms of our operating protocols and how, where people are directed to go when they arrive.
No,
It's also
I was
just
just
us
curious.
being, it's also us being very clear in our language when we talk about the historic theater or the historic entrance versus the event center entrance. You know,
Correct.
it's still it's all the Fox, but there will be multiple, venues within the Fox, the umbrella of the Fox.
Right. And I mean, regular patrons will figure it out pretty quickly. You know, when you talk about which entrance to use. So, okay,
And there's
well, do we have, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, there's a Stone Avenue entrance and there's a Congress Street entrance, and they also most likely, we hope, will both be named, you know, for various different ideally supporters of the project as well. So there's lots of ways that we will be able to differentiate those entrances for folks.
Okay. Do we have any final comments or questions from PRS members before we wrap up our courtesy review? Okay. My last thing then is remind us again of, like, you'll at some point come back for a formal review, right?
Correct. Yes. I mean, I anticipate we'll come back for another courtesy review before then. Our current planning is to wrap up our construction documents in first quarter of next year. You know, we typically try to get our development package in before we submit for a building permit, and that's what will trigger the design review process. So our actual formal review will probably be either the end of this year or beginning of next year.
Okay. So we'll see you again.
You will. You'll see it at least two more times before. Yeah, you'll see it again. And I know I appreciate everyone's time. I think this is an important project. It's, you know, there's a lot of people are invested in this building and the history of this building, and we're trying very hard to honor it. And so I appreciate your time and your comments today.
Yeah. And we appreciate the public comment and gives us some food for thought. And okay, well, we look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
Sure. Okay, guys. Let's move on to item 5, which is current issue for information and discussion. 5A, minor reviews.
Yes, so we had a few minor reviews approved recently. A new pool in West University, which is screened by existing masonry and metal walls and metal fence. There was a new photovoltaic system in the Barrio Histórico, another new photovoltaic system in West University, and a Ramada alteration at Fort Lowell Park. It was not a historic Ramada, but it was in the HPZ. So those were a few that we recently approved. Michael's not here. He could probably tell you about other cases that he's actively working on. But that's all I have on minor reviews.
Okay, thank you. 5B is appeals.
No appeals.
Okay, none at this time. 5C, zoning violations.
There are a few that we're just working through with code enforcement on, but I don't have any updates or any that are currently under review at the moment, but we'll bring them to you when ready.
Okay. 5D is review process issues. Desiree, members, do you have any process issues you'd like to bring up? I know you sent out the file for us to review. Do you want to just go over that and say what your time frame is on that and so forth?
Sure. So, yes, we're looking to update our application instructions. So we're creating an information guide for historic review. So the idea is to include information for applicants about what triggers a historic review, the different kinds of historic review. So what scopes of work trigger a minor review versus a full review, what things don't require historic review. We currently don't really have a good handout for people like that. So this information guide will include that, but it will also include information that for submittal requirements. So what people need to submit as part of their application. It'll go over the actual submittal process. So like TDC online, you know, the different steps, the different review steps, and approval processes. It includes a small section on the development zone, what that means, And then we include the checklists at the end that kind of give people a heads up. This is how your project is going to be evaluated on a substantive level. So I provided that to you all for any feedback you might have, especially I could use feedback on the submittal requirements. So, elevation, site plans, like the details that we want people to show in their application, that I would really appreciate it if you have any time to look at that. And it's like a 16-page document, but the submittal requirements are just a couple, like maybe 3 pages. So,
Are
will
you
do.
looking for a
Thanks.
vote
Sorry,
for
it's
us
been.
from us at some point at a meeting, or are you just
No
looking for
vote.
feedback?
Yeah, just feedback, kind of how we did with the checklists. So those checklists you already saw, so you don't have to look at those again, unless you want to. But just feedback would be helpful. This isn't anything that needs, it's just like an administrative type of thing. It doesn't need a formal vote or anything. It's just like a handout that we're hoping will be a tool that we can use as staff, you all can use, the applicants can use, to better, just improve our processes, make things hopefully clearer for people.
And we can just
Okay, and what,
make little
by what
comments or
date?
mark it up. Oh,
Yeah.
sorry.
Yeah, mark it up or
Okay.
email me back, however you would like. That would
Yeah.
be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, and it would be good maybe if we are commenting, then we can blind CC the other folks so that we can know what we're saying, you know? So,
Sure. Yeah, and I mean, we could even put it, if you want to talk about it briefly during the next meeting or something, like we can. But yeah,
Well, yeah, maybe
like
you could tell us, get the comments in by X date, and then you could just summarize if you might have questions for people or whatever. You know what I mean? So when do you want, what's the deadline for these? Because our next meeting is the 13th, so we've got a little time. And you've, yeah.
Yes. So let's see.
Thought you said the
I,
5th.
yeah, I had asked
Did you
for the 5th. So if that works, I mean, if we needed a bit more time, we can plan on, the week of the 13th.
Well,
That would be
people can
fine
try
too.
and they can just ask you for more time if they need it. So great. I look forward to that. Thanks
Absolutely.
for all those efforts, because I think people have been asking for that, and that'll go a long way too toward standardizing, hopefully, the way presentations are done or what's expected, so that it'll be easier for reviewers like us, and it'll be easier for you as also a reviewer at an earlier level. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else have any review process issues they want to share? Okay. Item 6 is future agenda items. What are you thinking you might have for August 13th?
There are two cases from Armory Park to full reviews that are ready, so those will be put on the agenda. There's also going to be a courtesy review from DTM, Department of Transportation and Mobility, on the Dunbar Spring National Register Historic District lighting, street lamp lighting. So they're going to just get some, they'd like some feedback, some input on some potential updates to street lamp lighting. And potentially the historic landmark nomination for Russell Randolph House, trying to get that, see if we can get that on the agenda. So it would be a longer agenda than today, but good projects.
Okay, well, I'll look forward to seeing your draft agenda, and then we can, it's been nice having a little bit shorter agendas a couple times, but we recognize that that is a treat,
Yes.
not a standard thing.
Yeah. Thank you all
So,
for your work and your time.
yeah. Anything else, members? Thank you so much for being on today and for responding to my plaintive request for whether or not you're coming. So anyway, I think if there's nothing else, we're adjourned at 2:14. And Desiree, could you stay on for just a second after we turn off the recording? I just I need to talk to you real briefly.
Sounds good. I'll start
Thanks,
the
everyone.
recording.
Take care.
Thank you.
Stay
Thank
cool.
you.
Bye.